Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. Restore the balance of the universal mind. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat find shalom. Holy angel of the Most High, Om Shabbat Shalom. I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I'm your hostess this evening. The music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai, wonderful group that I met in the Sedona, Arizona area, and you can definitely check out more of their work through their website at www.shimshai.com. That's S-H-I-M-S-H-A-I.com, and I greatly appreciate their permission to utilize their music during the show here. And I just want to extend a welcome to you, whether you are returning or whether you've joining us here for the very first time. Either way, it's great to have you with us. And I do want to remind everybody that we are streaming live in three additional places outside of Blog Talk Radio, which is TalkStream Live, StreamFinder, and PEN, also known as Para Encounters Network. And I welcome everybody listening through those channels as well. Here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life and how it affects our life and the different areas of compassion. And some weeks I'm doing different exercises and practical implementations. A couple of weeks ago, for example, I did a show on the chakras and a show on manifestation and how we can do that in compassionate ways and did some different exercises there. You can catch those in our archives. And many times I've got really wonderful guests on the show. Tonight, of course, is no exception to that. I've got Victoria Vives coming on tonight, which is exciting. And that way it gives you a chance to learn about how other people's work fits in with compassion and complements working with compassion. And then also I highlight different musical artists along the way. Last year we had Grammy nominees Stephen Halpern and Peter Cater on the show. I've had Jill Mattson on the show, Claire Hedin, Bruce Ciccarelli. I've got a couple of more musical guests that will be coming on this year as well. So there's always new and different people's work that's coming through here. And then what I do is in my own work, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, and if you've missed that, you can catch it in our archives. I've authored four books, the most recent being You, Me, Life Dreams, and its companion workbook, and then my first two books, Activating Compassion, and also its companion workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, a multi-state nationwide tour that includes workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. You can follow some of those events on that tour through my event site, which is jessieannicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com, and that is in our show description, I believe, just at the bottom of the show description here on Blog Talk, in there, as well as on my website. If you go on my website, you'll see a tab for events or the Compassion Tour on there, and that's actually listing all the sites, not just the paid ones, but also various workshops that I have going on. And if you go in there, I'm currently adding things daily because I'm getting ready to tour for the next 4 months straight, starting in only about a week and a half, and that'll be starting out at Solvang in California and working my way up the California coast. I'll be in Cambria at Amethyst Healing Center one night. I'm going to be in San Francisco running an all-day event, going on up to Seattle and then heading across country, doing events going across country. I'll be out in the Pennsylvania area. I'll be in Massachusetts, Connecticut, the Washington, D.C. area, Atlanta area. I'll be in San Antonio area. So wherever you are, I'm pretty much going to be, and you're going to be able to catch up with me while I tour over the next 4 months. And just a reminder, if you do enjoy the show this evening, make certain you tell your friends and family. And, you know, I find that if I just click that share button, share it on my social media, that there's almost always somebody out there that needs the show that I'm sharing. And they're resonating to what's going on. So you never know who you might be helping out just by clicking that share button. And they can listen to it at the same link that you used to get into the show tonight at their convenience, or they can go to my page on the Main Street Universe tab on my website, which is jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com, and I have all the archived shows there, as well as they can catch it, again, as a podcast on iTunes or tunein.com or on my YouTube channel. I do put up a YouTube version that's usually available within about 24 hours after the show has finished. Now, those that have listened in before, you know that one of the things I really love to delve into each show is a little tidbit from Yehuda Berg, which comes out of his book, The 72 Names of God. And Yehuda is a Kabbalah master. And I love Yehuda's work because what he does is he takes these big, giant concepts and he puts them into everyday language. And what I like to do is to delve into his book and get us a little thought for the week. And this thought will also be, again, on my page of the Main Street Universe tab on my website. And you can find it there. And that way you can go back and look at it during the week, because I know I like to do that. When I pull a message for the week, I like to go back and reflect on it periodically as things come up during the week. So let's see what he's got tonight here for us. And we have Silent Partner. And this is exciting. And you know, every week I kind of delve in, and I always love how things synchronize between the music that is up. I just kind of let things flow in an order and the message that comes up. And I think this particular one is really cool with our guest tonight, because with the work that she does, Victoria really draws on a silent partner in her work. And when we're on our path, we're oftentimes working with a silent partner. And what he has here is a little message he starts off with is, everyone who comes into this world must choose a silent partner, the dark force or the light of the Creator. Take your pick. And the insight that Yehuda gives on this is, there are two kinds of wealth, spiritual and physical. How these spiritual and material assets get divvied up depends upon which silent partner we choose. After all, every partner wants a piece of the action. If we choose the dark force as our silent partner, it will allow us to keep 100% of our material wealth, but it demands 90% of our spiritual light, of which it then tithes 10% back to us in the form of momentary gratification. The dark force then uses the remaining 90% of the light to strengthen itself and wreak havoc in the world and in our personal lives. Now, if we choose the light as our silent partner, we will keep 100% of the light and 90% of the physical wealth. All we must do is tithe 10% back to the light in the form of charity. The concept of tithing, of giving away 10% of our earnings, is also designed to remove the dark forces' influences from our lives. If the negative force remains attached to our financial sustenance, eventually its influence will wither away our good fortune. Tithing 10% of our income does not diminish our well-being. On the contrary, it brings greater prosperity and joy in every area of our lives. The silent partner effect means that we always have one side or the other with us. The choice is ours. And the meditation that Yehuda provides here with this is tithing. And meditation upon this sequence of letters removes the dark forces' presence from your earnings and its destructive influence from your life. The light is now your silent partner, bringing you endless blessings and protection. It's a partnership made in heaven. And again, the common word of God that's provided with us tonight is silent partner. And the formal word, or the formal name of it, is Yud Resh Tov. That's Yud Fresh tab. And again, that's going to be up on my page of the Main Street Universe tab on my website, jessieannicholsgeorge1.com. Now, look for something for us to think about before we take off on break and come back with our guest, Victoria Vives. And this is just a little something to think about to get us going on tonight's topic. Have you experienced the vibration of sound? Do singing bowls emit a unique frequency that can truly elevate us? And why does their sound seem to have such a strong impact? A couple of weeks ago, I wrote about the chakras. One of the things that greatly seems to impact our chakras is that of sound, or more specifically, vibration. Now, each sound that we have is heard at its own frequency, and each frequency resonates at a vibrational energy. Thus, why music can soothe the savage beast or shift our thoughts and moods so rapidly, for better or worse. Singing bowls are really a pretty ancient practice, and I have to wonder what was happening in some of those rural tribes and indigenous cultures, which we talked about last week, by the way, that led them to actively work with the singing bowl. I've always been naturally drawn to them, perhaps because they seem to resonate so well with nature, and my long druidic heritage will not turn away from what is resonating with nature. Now, while some are mass-produced, most are still produced by hand, each one having its own unique sound to it. Victoria Vives not only works with singing bowls, but adds a unique vibrational toning technique with her voice. She uses this combination to raise any energy vibrations, heal, create, etc. Oftentimes, she is drawing in the energy of the 11th dimension and Lyra. I really find this interesting to acknowledge how quickly vibration can shift us. I've had many magical and transcendent experiences working with my singing bowl at events and out in nature. And one time, I was sitting on a deck at Snowbird, which is ski area, resort area, for those who aren't familiar with it. It's in northern Utah, up around the Park City area, near where the Olympic area was. And I was playing my bowl just after I had received it as a birthday present. And its sound was rebounding off of the mountains, and it was echoing through the canyons. And everything in me tingled and buzzed. And it was like feeling the whole universe rush through my body while time and space disappeared. It amazes me, with all the healing aspects and spiritual tools, that playing singing bowls remains a reasonably quiet art. Is there something about it that it wants to keep a sacredness in this way? For me, it is an extension of me when I play it. I have been known to silence a room without saying a word, and the light of spirit radiates brightly simply by using that singing bowl. What are your experiences with singing bowls? Have you used singing bowls personally or in your work? Do you have preferences of what kind are used around you or that you will work with? This week, our guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of creating a new world. This reminds us that each and every one of us has a part in bringing forth a world that is full of virtues. Each person has something to contribute that will make the world a better place to be. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I will have Victoria Vives with me, and we will be discussing her work with sacred frequencies. And the song I've got for you during our break is called Remember in the Silence by Claire Hedin. And if you'd like to check out more of Claire's work, I encourage you to do so, because she's doing some amazing things also with nature, also with tonal vibrations and healing work and opening. And you can check out more of her work at www.clairehedin.com. That's C-L-A-R-E HEDIN.com. We'll be back shortly.
Remember in the silence that you're good in.
Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. You were just listening to a song by Claire Hedin, and I greatly appreciate her for letting us use her music on this show, and that was called Remember in the Silence. You can find out more about Claire's work at www.clairehedin.com. That's clarehedin.com. And I'd like to bring on my guest tonight, Victoria Vives, healing arts and spiritual teacher, martial artist, and actress. She is a starseed focusing on her connection to Lyra in the 11th dimension to channel sacred frequencies and compose transcendental music. Victoria is also a Reiki and Karuna Reiki master, teacher, and certified in many other styles of healing, as well as being a student of shamanism in cross-cultural and Zulu lineages. She has worked as a professional model and progressed naturally into television, appearing on numerous shows, including performances alongside Robbie Williams, Diana Ross, and The Platters. Victoria became well known as the Glue Glue Girl in Uno Para Todas under the name of Anouk and as the representative image of the film and music TV show No Solo Musica. She has made appearances in Vogue, Rolling Stones, and major Spanish newspapers. Victoria began writing and producing her own music with great success, debuting in a concert with Latin superstar Alaska, and 10,000 attendees. Her success continued with a contribution to the writing of the Olympic rap in Spontaneous Kundalini Awakening, brought her, Her success continued with a contribution to the writing of the Olympic rap and in cooperation with Latin superstar Nacho Cano, also known as Macano, to represent Madrid's 2002 Olympic candidacy. A spontaneous Kundalini awakening brought her to her spiritual path and soon after started her healing practice at a metaphysics healing charity group. In addition, she is the author of the popular audio series, The Five Superhero Secrets. And we're looking tonight at Victoria's work in sacred frequencies, and you can learn more about her work at www.victoriavives.com, and that's V-I-V-E-S.com. Boy, I'm twisting up my tongue tonight on this. Victoria, it's absolutely wonderful to have you here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Hi, Jessie. I'm so excited to be here with you and with all our listeners, whether it is live right now or in the archives, because we are all in the now, so it doesn't matter.
That's absolutely right. And you know, I remember when I came across you and you had joined my group, the Spiritual Nourishment Network, and you first posted this one of your sound frequencies, and you were working, I believe, with the singing bowl and your voice. And I was sitting there, and the first time I listened to it, I went, oh, my gosh, is that her voice alone that's making the sounds? And I was like, that is powerful. And I was like, I have to check this person out a little bit more. And I'll tell you, I've been around a lot of things and a lot of work and seen a lot of people do a lot of different things. So it's not always easy to captivate my attention like that.
Wow. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. It was wonderful meeting you, you know, and you are always so kind and so gentle and so loving that, you know, even though it's the first time that we speak over the phone or in your channel, in your radio channel, is really like I know you and, you know, you are somebody to trust and somebody so loving and so giving that I really appreciate our connection. Thank you so much.
It's truly a pleasure. I would love for you to start off. I mean, I gave a little bit of introduction there, but I know that that's scratching the surface for you. So I would love to share a little bit more about who Victoria is and what brought you into doing the sacred frequency work.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. What a journey that I had, because, you know, in my life, I feel that in some ways I'm a bridge for different things. So in this case, with the sacred frequencies, one of the purposes of this is to bring new energies to our planet so that we can raise our vibration into greater love and happiness and compassion. And this of being a bridge means that I also have to be able to relate to energies that are not that high sometimes. So throughout my life, you know, I went to many extremes, from being in an energy that was very dark and surrounded by very dark people and learning from that, you know, because we can always learn from every different perspective in life, and then changing to the opposite and becoming, you know, very interested in healing and many other things, and then back to a different extreme of the expression of source. You know, there are so many different facets that experiencing all of those different things, I feel that gave me a foundation to understand different ways of living, and not necessarily judge any of them as better than others, but instead say, okay, well, you know, this is what it is, and I accept it with as much as unconditional love as I can. And yet I want to bring these sacred frequencies, this sound that is more loving, more in tune with the universe, with the earth, with the interconnectedness between us. So all of that I really wanted to bring it through, because our bodies, our energetic systems are almost like we can become like radio channels almost. So the frequencies that we embody, we can also transmit and spread around us. We are almost like a flower that is always emanating beautiful fragrances, so the people around us can feel that that energy. And depending on what kind of focus we have and what kind of frequencies we embody, we can really transform this world. So that's why I really enjoy doing this work of the sacred frequencies. And one of the aspects is that different frequencies are going to be for different subjects, subjects that I experienced in my life. So as all of us, I feel that the path of the healers or the wounded healer is that there is always a new layer of healing. I don't know if you relate to that, but it looks like, oh, I already overcame this, and then there is a new layer. You know what I'm referring to?
Yes.
So,
and,
yeah. So,
and I'm glad,
so what
I'm glad that you brought up a couple of things. You mentioned that in order to get to that point of raising vibrations in the world, you also had to go through some unhigh energies.
Oh, yes.
How to deal with and that polarity, I think, is important, because a lot of people, they get stuck in the unhigh vibrations, and they, you know, and it's hard sometimes when they're making that journey. And I find that important to bring out, because a lot of people get this concept that, oh, you've always been in tune with the sacred frequencies and you've always operated
no.
level and you deal with the dark because you're in the light. And what plays into my message earlier with that is that we can always shift and choose that silent partner, whether it's going to be the dark or the light energy. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to throw that in there really quick, but yes, and I've had to deal a lot with people doing work recently who have been doing work for a long time, and they think they've got it all, and I'm like, you got another layer to peel away.
Oh, my goodness. It happens, and, you know, that's what also keeps ourselves in compassion and also humbleness, because if we would be already overcame everything, how would we relate to people that may need our support? So I feel that, you know, it's okay that we still working on improving and always learning more about ourselves. So what I experienced is that different times I felt something coming up for myself. So I decided, you know, to just make that into what I would share with others. So if 1 week I had a little bit of challenge about this or that, I would tune into that frequency and connect with the 11th dimension and bring healing towards that aspect. So in general are things that I already have a lot of work on them, but still a new layer showed up. So that's the opportunity for healing for myself and to offer it to others. Because if I feel totally neutral about a subject, it wouldn't be the same to work on healing that and offer that healing for others. So I feel that that was the, you know, the journey for me to every week see, okay, you know, my guys are taking me to this space and I'm feeling in this way. So that means that I'm going to have to face it, you know. I'm going to have to peel the next layer, and I'm going to make this into something that others can benefit from as well. So in general, that has been the work, really bringing energies that contain the healing for a certain aspect and also the experience that I have. Because if we didn't have that negative aspect in our lives, like, you know, even though we heal them now to some extent, in the past maybe it was strong. And that's what gave us the wisdom or the experience to resolve it and help others as well to resolve it, because we can understand, we can have compassion, and we can say, you know, I was there, but now I see it differently. There is a way out. So I feel that that is part also of the sacred frequencies, both my experience in the past and my new layer in the present.
You bring up a beautiful point with this. And I think that this is really important for people out there, because so many people are starting on their path, or maybe they've been on their path for a while, and they hit that point and they go, I don't know where to go next. I don't know where to start. I'm in this rut and I don't know where to begin. I don't know how to get out of it. Things like this. And you brought up a good point, which is something I incorporate a lot of my work as well, and that is you start where your own life is at that moment, what you're being challenged with. And this is why, like, when I'm putting the events that I'm getting ready to do for the next 4 months, for example, out there, and people are like, what are you going to be doing? And it's like, I'm going to be doing and addressing whatever your need is in that moment, not what your need is today, but what your need is in 3 months when you show up to that event.
Wow.
So it's exactly what you mentioned, which is you start and you work from what challenges you. You don't run away from that challenge. You start with
it. Yes.
So that's a big point you brought up.
Thank you, you know, and I feel that one of the big things about people like, you know, that like us that want to focus on being the best that we can, when we fall a little bit and we say, oh my goodness, I thought I was so spiritual and now I feel that I'm so angry or I'm so sad and I shouldn't because I'm so spiritual, you know. That acceptance and that surrender to what is, and, you know, this is what it is, it's okay. Let's have compassion not only for others but for ourselves. And that compassion, that surrendering, that accepting, that is going to help resolving the problem so much faster, because the anger becomes just that stuck energy because we don't let go of it by just surrender to it. So I feel that that is a big thing, and actually I had a couple of those this year that I got really trapped into disappointment to myself, you know. Oh, my goodness, after so long, I'm still in this position. This is not possible, you know, and I'm realized about that. Oh, my goodness.
And again, another good point there that you're bringing up, because people have this concept, well, you're so spiritual, you never hit these challenges, you never hit these struggles. But I think between that spiritual person and the so-called non-spiritual person, I don't know, we're all spiritual, but, you know, as you're evolving, instead of looking at it and beating yourself up and going into self-judgment, the difference is you look at it and say, what am I really dealing with here?
Right.
And what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
See the difference as we grow. And you also mentioned something in your introduction and in starting to talk about your work, that you tap into the 11th dimension. And I really would love for you to explain a little bit more about the 11th dimension, why the 11th dimension, why is
sure.
that important, that valuable? Because I think people hear these things about dimensions all the time and they're like, what does that mean and what are these dimensions?
Sure. And, you know, also something, before I go to that, you said something that I feel is also very special, which is about the judgment on ourselves. And, you know, the judgment on ourselves becomes the judgment on others and vice versa. So I feel that if we want to be more compassionate to others, we have to start also to be compassionate to ourselves so much, because guilt and all this self-judgment really becomes really a poison for ourselves. And it doesn't let us accept others as well. So I just wanted to mention that because I love what you shared.
And you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, healers and spiritual are some of the worst at self-judgment.
Oh.
Because they're so busy trying to do things for the world that they tend to really get hard on themselves. So I'm glad that you added that.
Okay, so yeah, there is a lot that I could talk about this theme, but, you know, I want to answer your question for sure. So how did I get to that? Okay, so I always had a very, I would say, kind of abstract perspective, even though I also have another aspect in me that is more primal. But I tend very much to that abstract or high energy tendency. And there was this time in my life, it was like October, maybe before October last year, that I was really, really like, you know, I know extraterrestrial life exists. I know I have experiences with beings from other dimensions. I know that I may have a strong connection with other planets or dimensions, and I want to really learn more about this. So I saw some videos of Teal Swan, and I decided to go see her for a session, for an interview. So I interviewed her. And when I went there, you know, my main question was, am I from this planet or am I from somewhere else? You know, so she mentioned that I was from Lyra, that I only have a part of me in here, but really a lot of my energy is there. This is to explain it in a way that makes more sense, you know. It's kind of a difficult theme to express. So after she mentioned that, I started recognizing that energy and that connection stronger, because sometimes, you know, we may feel things, but we are not completely sure what it is, and we know, but we need the kind of confirmation from the outside. So once somebody from the outside tells you something that you feel within, then it becomes easier. So that's what got me into that connection very strongly. So I decided to really make it more real and more something that I honor every day of my life. So that was when I started actually also saying, you know, I'm going to connect with this energy and I'm going to channel also frequencies from there. So that was something to ground those energies from that dimension into this dimension. And after that was when I also I met with Bashar as well, and he helped me understanding an experience I had, because I started developing other connections with other dimensions, and these were Sirius and Orion. So now I understand that it's not just that Lyra dimension, but that is just one aspect. And then in the other aspect, the other extreme would be that Orion energy, which is more primal and more warrior-like, which is a big aspect in myself. So once again, this is the bridge, you know, bridging something that is more primal with something that is more ethereal. And so that's more or less the story, you know, making it short, of how I have that connection and how I experience it, how I became aware of it, and how I feel that, you know, we all can connect with everything, but some of us naturally have a very, very strong connection. And, you know, this may be seen differently from different perspectives. So from some perspectives is that I am actually in Lyra and I'm projecting myself here just to help in this earth. Another perspective would be I'm fully here, but I have a strong connection with Lyra. So, you know, these are things that I don't feel we may agree, many of us, on how it exactly works, because it's kind of non-tangible. But whatever it is, I know that I have those connections and I really enjoy them, and they really make sense to me and help me understand myself so much better. And also focusing my work and what I do in this life. So hopefully that makes sense.
Yes, and actually I too have a very strong connection with Lyra. It holds very deeply to me, as well as other dimensions and aspects of the universe, and I've known that probably most of my life. I've just always been out traveling around the universe. I think that there's a lot of people on this planet that have a sense of some sort of starseed connection out there. And that's why I really wanted you to share with that. And a point that you just made that I felt was really important is there are many different perspectives about how we're existing here. And are we a projection, or are we here and still connected someplace else? And I feel sometimes that even though it can be valuable to know some of those pieces, what's more important is not so much whether this is a projection or our main focus or what, as what are we doing with what we have right now.
Right. You know, and I feel that everything is a little bit of an illusion that we are creating, a game, so that we can grow in and expand and expand the universe. So I feel that, you know, there are like different degrees of illusion, but everything is kind of a game. So I enjoy sometimes getting into the game and live it fully, and sometimes being more aware, okay, you know, I'm making this up and I can choose differently. So yeah, at the end, I feel that all of that is kind of the glasses through which we are looking at the world.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a lot of this starts to, you know, make sense. And to me, when you mentioned Orion as well, that it's a natural balancing point in a lot of ways to Lyra. It's... You know, we like everything in the universe, there's a polarity there. And that polarity is necessarily bad or dark or any of those things. I try to stay away from some of those terms, but we balance this gentle heart energy that comes out of Lyra with that primal energy and for example. So I, you know, you have a beautiful balancing of energy, and that definitely comes out in your work. And there is no question. I mean, I don't think anybody could listen to the work and the frequencies, and if people haven't done it, go to Victoria's website, victoriavives.com. That's VictoriaVives.com, and she's got, you know, samples of videos and things that she's done with these frequencies on there. I don't think anybody can listen to your sounds and your singing bowls and the videos that you've produced and not see that it's connected with dimensions beyond this.
You know, what I can tell, what I can share is that every time that I allow that sound to come through me, I'm totally transported to that dimension and to a sense of bliss that is so special and so unique that, I don't know, it's very challenging to put it in words because it's something that it has no words to be expressed. So, you know, sometimes I start doing it and I don't realize where I am, but I notice this bliss increasing. And then when I come back is when I realize, wow, I was so far. This was so blissful. Oh, my goodness. And I can be in any state. Sometimes I may be stressed or something, you know, and as soon as I set that intention, I am connecting with Lyra with 11th dimension to channel frequencies that help me with this, with that, then it's like, okay, this is changing now. So it's certainly an experience that I'm very grateful to have, you know, connected with this part of me. And, you know, we all have something very special, and sometimes it takes a while until we find it, and sometimes it takes a while until we trust it. But I really encourage each of the people listening right now to search for your true self and to what to look into your heart, to see what your heart desires. And regardless of what other people may say, you know, maybe it sounds weird or it looks weird or it, you know, it's not the same that other people do, but it doesn't matter. My example is that when I started having those sounds coming through me, because actually, you know, one thing that I didn't mention is that I started having those high frequencies after a near-death experience I had. So this was a long time ago before my Kundalini awakening. So at that time, I was singing, and normally I would sing with a very low frequency voice. But suddenly my voice expanded very much, and I started reaching those high-pitched sounds. And I was in a singing class, and I said, oh, you know, I said to my teacher, look, I can do these sounds. I cannot do much with them, but I was wondering if we can develop them. And she was like, no, that is nothing. That is not voice, so forget it. You know, and then once again, years later, I tried to use it again, and I was also discouraged, like, no, that's not voice. That doesn't count for anything. So, you know, I was discouraged a few times about it, but once I just said, you know, I'm not going to do it for anyone. I'm going to do it for myself. And if somebody wants to listen to it, I will be delighted to share it. But I'm going to truly do it for myself. I want to discover who I am without having to put myself in a cookie cutter to fit in, you know. So once I did that, I started gaining this freedom. So that's why I encourage people to really look within and a little less without, and discover who you truly are so that you can offer your true gift, because we are waiting for it. So I think it's very important, you know, to connect with that part of ourselves.
You brought up a fantastic piece right there. And that is, when you're working with your gift, do it for yourself. Because if you do it for yourself, the world will get on board. So many people want cookie cutter thing and say, this is right, this is wrong. No, you can't use your voice that way. But
right.
don't know where that can go until they hear it. So if they've never really
right.
heard it and they're dismissing it, coming from the standard traditional format. But when spirit flows through something, it's not necessarily going to work in this standard traditional format of control,
right.
ordinary. And if we look at all the great inventors and musicians and people out there that have impacted our lives, they didn't go with the cookie cutter. They didn't listen to the people that said, oh, no, no, you can't use your voice that way. Out and they did it. And people went, ooh, that's really different. What's that about? And so to do that, that is a beautiful example for people, because so many people do get wrapped up when they're bringing something out and they say, I have this thing happening in me, and I don't understand it completely. And they don't always know what to do with it. And you just featured that beautifully. And I was going to say, oh, does somebody know? But, I mean, did you just start making sounds? How did you know how to shift your mouth or your voice or which ones? I mean, part of it obviously was just channeling, but let's say somebody's coming and they're saying, I want to do sacred frequencies.
Oh.
I want to make Aria mix. How do I do that? Where do I start with that?
Wow. You know, I feel that for me, it has to become something that each person channels through in a very personal way. So, for example, normally when I do the sacred frequencies, I have no idea what I'm going to sing. It's not like I say, okay, now I'm going to put my mouth like this and it's going to sound in this way and now it's going to sound like that. You know, I don't know exactly what is going to happen. I just allow the flow of energy to come through me and see what happens. So sometimes if I want to do it like from my mind, I may not be able to do it, you know, because it's not the same to just allow yourself to get lost in the sound than to say in your mind, okay, so now step one, I'm going to do this and I'm going to put my mouth like that and now, you know, I'm going to vibrate in this way. That is not really how it goes, you know, and that is a different thing. Like, for example, when I record songs, then it is more that way, right? I have to say, okay, these are the lyrics, that's it. I have to stay, but for me, it's such a different experience, which I enjoy too, but I feel that channeling those frequencies is something that, I don't know, I think the only way is to connect with that frequency itself, you know, to simply say, okay, I'm connecting with that energy, and I'm not doing it, I'm just allowing it. I think that's the only thing, and then all my body, my mouth, everything will get into place. Because, for example, what I noticed is that my singing teacher would always tell me not to put my head back when I'm singing, because then it cuts off the flow of energy of the voice. But what I see in my videos is that always that I'm in the sacred frequencies, my neck is totally bent and my face is looking up because I'm receiving the energy from that higher dimension. So, you know, if I try to put it into a technique, I don't feel it would be, I don't know. I wouldn't know how to fit it. We will come back
and
to the cookie cutter.
And I think that's the thing. When people want to work with sound, it's not about overanalyzing it. I think a lot of people, when they are trying to work with a gift or bring something out, whether it's chanting or different things, they worry so much, am I doing it right? Do I have this technique? And it's really just about letting go, because sound going to resonate through us and around us and in our environment. And every sound, just like every chakra or anything else, is going to create something. And whether that sound ends up being deep or high, and one time you might draw to something high and one time something low, and that could clue you into where your energy is needing to focus or what is needing attention. And like you say, when you just let it flow, it's not about worrying about is this right or wrong or do I have the right pitch or these sorts of things. It's just about letting it out. It's kind of like going to that mountaintop and just screaming. Letting it out.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes the sounds may not be always like the most heavenly beautiful. Like sometimes I know I channeled some sounds that were kind of weird, you know, and I said, I don't know how people is going to listen to this. You know, maybe they think this is really weird, but, you know, it's what came through. And sometimes sounds that are not so polished may also have a frequency that can be very beneficial. So, you know, I normally do my best to just share things, even if they are a little bit weird sometimes. And something that also happens that is kind of funny is that before doing the sacred frequencies, many times I would just go with my husband, maybe in the car or whatever, and, you know, I always had this strong connection with sound, so I would start doing all sorts of different sounds, so weird. Like my husband would say, you sound, right now you sound really like a bird, now you sound like this, now you sound like that. It's like I have something about sound that, you know, for me, it's a strong connection. So even though with the sacred frequencies, I am focusing on something very specific or that 11th dimension, I feel that it is part of what I do. Like even when I speak, like for example, sometimes I would guide meditations or things like that. There is something about my connection with my voice or with sound that also is very intimate for me and very at the core of who I am. So, you know, that's another piece of what I do as well.
I agree with that, that voice, that sound. It's I know mine shifts for different things, and I have people that talk about that a lot. They go, there's just something about your voice. And and I have a strong alignment with music, maybe not, well, at one time, singing. Now I can chant something or work with a singing bowl, and people are the connection there is blowing the walls down with the energy. But and it's fun, and I think that's the thing. When we get out of that mold and we stop worrying about whether somebody else thinks it's right or wrong or good or bad, and we just let it out, it's prayer. It's a very beautiful experience. And, you know, I look at this, and I was going to ask you, because sacred frequencies, you know, we use that term, and yet it can be whatever is coming out of us. And I think that this is important for people to work with, even if they get this monotone that comes out of their mouth.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's a sacred frequency. And to me, when we do that, we're releasing maybe blocks inside of us or creating changes. Have you noticed that, or do you have any insight to how that maybe releases the blocks or creates changes that their outer life?
Yeah. So what happened is that sound is made when vibrations travel through a solid, a liquid, or a gas. So energy is transferred by the connected particles. So these particles could be like molecules of air, water, but also can be body tissue. It can be blood. It can be our bones. So even at a physical level, sound can transform us. And for example, we have the myself, for example, have a I have a toothbrush that has ultrasound, I think it is, to really clean in depth my teeth. Or for example, in surgery, sometimes sound is used also to facilitate the surgery, because it changes. It really changes matter. it has a strong power. Like, for example, also I remember in the times that I was doing more dancing and all of that, I would be in a place with very loud music and I would have a bottle of water in front of me or a glass of water, and I would see how the sound was making vibrate everything, especially water. And of course, we are made up of water so much, so that really sound passes through us and is really going to change ourselves energetically, but also physically. So allowing sounds to come through us can help releasing blockages. And that's one of the reasons why I feel, you know, that sound and frequency is really powerful. So whether it is physically or energetically, it can help. The way in which we can see this is that these vibrations that sound emits would be like mechanical waves. So this is almost like when we see in the ocean the waves. So that would be a very good comparison, these mechanical waves. So that's how that sound passes through us. Even though we don't see it, like the ocean we see it, but sound we don't, it still passes through us. And actually there is people that can see sound. So that would be an interesting thing to know how they see it exactly. But truly, it passes through us and it totally can release blockages and can realign our energy. Sometimes I also work with other frequencies. Like, for example, in my shamanic work, I work with the drum a lot. And the drum is also so healing and so grounding because it has the resonance from Mother Earth, from the heartbeat of Mother Earth. So both are important because sometimes, you know, being up there in the 11th dimension is good, but we need to ground those feelings and those frequencies. So I know that some people contacted me because after the sacred frequencies, they felt like floating in the air, you know. So I created also a video for grounding with a drum, and I feel that is essential because, you know, we are living here on Earth, and we really need to honor that. My experience is that for a while after my awakening, I was living really, really ungrounded. It was very difficult to have a life like that, and we always need to grow strong roots in order to grow strongly spiritually. So even though I do most of my videos about the sacred frequencies with the higher frequency sound, it is also very important, the lower frequencies. So we have, again, the duality, right, the polarity.
Yes, and you talk about grounding, which is a really big and important thing because in recent times, there's been a lot of controversy around the grounding, and I'm glad you brought up the drum because you do use the drum and the singing bowls, which are just beautiful for bringing it all together here in the third dimension area. And on one hand, we're trying to ground less because we're evolving. On another, grounding to spirit. And what I think sometimes people forget when we talk about the grounding as it's shifting and evolving in that energy is that in order for us to really receive the benefits of what's happening on the higher dimensions, we have to be able to ground them into the dimension we're existing. If we don't do that, we're not going to see the results in our dimension.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're not lowering the vibration or the energy so much as we're establishing a connection, like plugging something into a light socket, like plugging a lamp a light socket so that it can light up. It's the same thing. So when we are tapping into that, say, 11th dimension energy, and we talk about grounding it, it's just like bringing the electricity into the light socket so we can plug into it and take advantage of it.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and also part of it is the way I look at it is that ascension is not about getting rid of something, but instead it's about integration of all of who we are, and it's about expansion. So what I see many times in my backyard is I have a walnut tree, and I always use it for this example because, you know, the more the walnut tree can develop a root system, the more it can grow up strong. If it would have just tiny, tiny roots and starts growing very much in all the branches going to the sky, then it's not going to be stable. And that was my experience with my awakening, that I have these little roots and I have all these branches going into spirituality. And I felt I totally, have this, it was impossible for me to leave, let's put it that way. So I had to leave everything all together because it was just impossible for me. And, you know, once again, different people may be different. I'm sharing my experience and how is my perspective, but of course I honor if other people feel, you know, that maybe it should be different. I'm totally respecting that.
Well, you bring up, that's really a beautiful example, I think, when we talk about ascension, because there are probably as many different thoughts out there on ascension as there are people on the face of this earth. every time I talk, they've got a little different piece of it in there, and I don't mean just my guests, I mean through posts or anything. But integration and expansion, and that's an interesting key, and I love that you brought in the aspect of your tree, because nature is a huge part of my work, and I know it's a huge part of your work. And look at the roots, and this ties into something that you brought up earlier about the layering of things. If we keep our roots shallow, it's easy to fall. It's easy to collapse. It's easy to get hurt. It's easy to lose our nutrients. But if we keep working with those layers and we dig deeper, when we go to the next layer and the next layer and the next layer, it's like putting down deeper roots, not to become immobilized, but to give us strength to grow, expand, and to integrate.
Beautiful. You know, and I feel that we already are all of those layers. We already are all of those expansions, whether it is going up or going down. It's just that we are disconnected from it. We are living with a very limited perspective. So it's about just reconnecting with the full of who we are. And sometimes that may be a little scary, you know, because it's something new, but once we embrace all of that, I feel it's such a journey of discovery.
you bring that up, and it's fantastic because, you know, again, using the example of your tree, if we allow our roots to go deeper, the bigger the tree can grow. The deeper the roots that it maintains, the stronger it gets and the higher it can go. And it's the same way when we talk about spiritual life, when we talk about working with sacred frequencies. The deeper we're willing to go, the higher we can ascend.
Yeah.
In there. So share with us, since we're on this whole nature thing right now, Victoria.
Yes.
You are expanding more and more to take your work into nature. And why is that? Do you find it adds power to the vibrations that you're creating? What does that do for you?
You know, you're telling me this and I have chills. It's very amazing, you know, how our lives develop when we listen. Because I didn't expect this transformation in my path. And, you know, I am very much, as you know, in the spiritual life. And for some reason, My husband is a little more like practical, you know. It's like he really focuses more on the earth aspect. So many times I was like, why, you know, why did we come together? Why, you know, because maybe why is not he doing Reiki like I am, you know? But what I discovered this year, that really he's my roots. In a way, he's helping me so much developing my roots. And part of this was his connection with primitive skills. Primitive skills are things such as learning how to make a fire, like the primitive people would do it, you know, and it's like, why would I want to do that? But, you know, it's so interesting to know that you can go to the wild and actually survive and live and get to know the plants. There are so many plants when we go for a walk that we can actually eat. It's like go to a supermarket, but everything is free and delicious and organic and fresh. But we sometimes don't have that information. So I started exploring with him all of this. We went in New Jersey. We decided to go for a vision quest to Joshua Tree. So in a vision quest, you just disconnect from everything and even from each other. So we slept separated. And it was the first time that I slept alone without a tent, just looking at the sky, you know. And it was a very long night. It was like 12 hours of darkness. So for me, my first time doing that, it was like, oh my goodness, would the sun come already? So it was a little, you know, it was quite an experience. But what I realized is that when I opened my eyes and all I have above me, it was the starry sky. I realized of my connection with the sky people, the stars. I felt that I was protected by them, that they are really presence that is our caretakers in some way. So I felt that connection with the earth. I felt that connection with the stars. And, you know, I just felt that that brought me great balance. So I started exploring more the idea of going out in nature in a more primitive way, more wild. And what I enjoy the most is to honor the earth and honor our relations, our relationships, whether it is with the earth, with the elements, with the plants, with the animals, with people. We are used to live very disconnected from all these things. In general, most of us live in a house in which we may not see nature because we have a wall in front of us, another wall behind us, another wall to the right, to the left, you know. Maybe we have a window and we are lucky to have some nature that we can look at. But in general, we are not in connection with our environment. So when I'm outdoors, when I'm, you know, right now I'm even sometimes working outdoors with my computer. I have solar panels, so I'm exploring how I can continue my daily life outdoors. What I notice is that my life totally changes. I'm outdoors and I'm seeing butterflies flying around me. I'm seeing squirrels playing in the tree. I'm seeing the sky. I don't know, all these things I missed out when I'm indoors. So I feel that even though I teach so many different energy healing styles, like I teach Reiki, Karuna Reiki, crystal healing, EFT, all sorts of things, I feel that the most important healing aspect is to go to nature to heal and restore all our relationships with nature, with animals, with plants, with one another. All of that is what can really, really bring us the greatest healing. That's what I feel. So when we live in a primitive way, which I have the experience of doing that in a couple of gatherings here in California, we go out to a place, we make like a special, like kind of a village, and we live in a very simple way, but that creates also a connection because, you know, it's like we get up and maybe we have a morning circle where we are around the fire and we are singing together, which creates a heart connection between the people that is there. Then we maybe learn some things together. We create things from scratch. Like, for example, there are plants that our ancestors were using to create sandals, to create baskets, to create anything, you know, and all these things, just learning how to do them, it creates something very special, but because it creates a bond with that object. For example, I remember making my first basket, a tiny basket made out of, with a plant. And for me, that is sacred. It's so special because I did it with something from nature. I connected with the plant. I spent time with the plant. It was a very healing process for me. And now I have it there forever. So, you know, things like that, that seems like, oh, I better go to the supermarket and buy a basket. Well, it's not the same, you know. It is not the same. So imagine living in a place, in a house, that everything you have created, it has a totally different energy than buying things that are maybe made up of plastic. And, you know, once again, I'm all about balance, so I really, really love technology, and I'm not giving that up anytime soon. But I just want to bring more and more nature to my life because I feel I need it. No healing aspect, you know, no Reiki, no anything, in my opinion, can bring the same level of joy and vitality and health that nature can bring. We are part of nature, and we are disconnected from it, and we need to restore that balance. So that's one point. I want to stop a little bit. There is a little bit more that I would like to share, but I want to make sure that you're still there.
It is, and you've brought up two really huge pieces in this. And I know from the work I do in nature, because I go out and I work with people for consciousness building and things like that in nature, and it opens them up in a way that is, they're much more receptive and they can make huge leaps and bounds in a day through that process. But you mentioned two huge things, which was honoring our relationship with nature. And as you say, when you create something with your own hands, working with nature, in nature, from the things, you create that bond. You create that connection. And connection is the other thing, because we are so used to disconnecting. And this is a big thing where people wonder, I don't understand why I'm not getting something. I don't understand why I'm not progressing, so on and so forth. And it's because we have been getting trained more and more and more and more to not connect
right.
with nature, to not
yeah.
connect with other people. And
right.
what happens is, why is it getting to be harder and harder and harder on us? Why are we struggling? Because we're not creating connections.
Right.
This
yeah.
is, and if you look at the power of nature, and you take the time to connect with nature, imagine how much you have to work with. Imagine how much is going to help you out.
Mm.
Dolphins do it. Whales do it. And look at how much difference you make in our world. Okay, run with that.
yeah. No, I totally agree with what you said. And I feel that, you know, we are very much connected with people, but many times it's through internet, which is great, but we really need also the one-on-one, you know, the physical presence of each other. Life becomes so much easier when we can count on a community. So that's also why my husband and I are starting an intentional community in Los Angeles, because we really would like to have that expanded family, people that you can count on, people that you can support and that they can support you, that we together can have so much more power, so much more possibilities, so much more enjoyment. And I feel that is essential. So what I realized talking with my shamanic mentor a couple of days ago in my radio show, what she was telling me is like, okay, shamans and shamanic practitioners, are the caretakers of the earth. And if you are not using that in your work and you are a shamanic practitioner, the work itself is going to take you there. So that's exactly what has happened to me. I'm a shamanic practitioner, and I was not so connected with the earth, and my work has brought me here through my husband. So now that is another aspect that I wanted to share, you know. So that's my other reason why I'm so in touch with the earth and with the elements, because it's part of my shamanic work as well.
And you made another connection right in the middle of all of that. Because so many, when they think of connection, I'm going to go out and I'm going to connect with this person. I'm going to get in relationship with this person. And one of the first things that's programmed into our mind is restriction. So a lot of people shy away from connection because they automatically associate it with restriction. If I connect with this, I can't go out and do what I want. I'm restricted. If I connect with this person, I'm restricted to certain things. If I connect with nature, I'm restricted from things. But what you just brought up in what you were talking about is the connection allows for expansion.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
But it
you
allows
know, in a way... Tell me. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because I had this experience in also my shamanic training. So what I experienced is myself merging with one of my, like, very high energy guides, like very high frequency guides. And I learned exactly that, you know, how one individual can do so much, but once we have two individuals, the possibilities are infinite. Like everything, not doubles, it's like multiplies in a way that is incredible. So I felt this in a very physical way by merging with this guide. But really, that's what happens all the time, not just energetically, but physically. When we are doing things on our own, it's so hard, it's such a burden. But once we connect just with one person, it becomes so much easier. The possibilities expand so much. So imagine a village, you know, imagine 10 people, 20 people, 25 people, what the possibilities are. Everything opens. So part of the challenge in our society is that those connections are kind of broken. We sometimes don't have that interconnectedness that could allow this expansion that we could have. And you know, even things such as our connection with the earth, with nature. At my home, for example, I have a front yard and a backyard, and we are changing everything, but the way in which it was before was that everything needed a lot of attention. So in order to have our yards looking well, we had to work a lot on them. Why? Because they weren't in tune with nature. They were prefabricated. So everything that was growing there was not sustained by nature. It was chosen in a way that didn't support the environment. So that creates a lot of work. So I feel that for us happens the same. If we really honor who we are, if we honor our connections, things can be so easy. But we are not creating that in our society yet. But I think that little by little we can create these intentional communities and start sharing a different way of living so that we can live, you know, with more freedom, more joy, more free time. And I feel that this is a big thing that is happening right now. More and more people is exploring different ideas on how we can live and share with others.
Absolutely, and these are big things you talk about, that compatibility with the environment and being self-sustaining. That's a concept on a spiritual level that I think is really just emerging on a bigger consciousness for people, and it does have connection. And this is a powerful thing because, as you say, it doesn't have to be as hard. And a lot of people are wondering, how do I get that extra time? How do I get more of that flowing through me? And it is more of that self-sustainability, as you will say, on multiple levels. And when we talk about this connection, you know, it rang home. I had a couple of just little thin candles burning the other day, and I was just doing something to bring some energy in for the new moon, and I was watching these two candles burning, and they had started off separate, and each one of them, you know, just had its own little flame going, and then they would join. But what would happen was, as they merged, as they connected, it wasn't like a quarter inch flame. The quarter inch flame became a half inch flame when they joined. To those quarter inch, all of a sudden became a 2-inch flame.
Wow.
When they, so, you know, it's not just our individual components coming together, but when we join, the expansion is way greater than just the two individual pieces coming together. And one of those concepts we've heard a lot, but we don't always get to see it. And as you say, when we make this connection to the environment, we're not connecting just with one little tiny portion of land, because just like we're connected as a human race, we're not going to get out of that whether we talk to other people or not. You know, the land is completely connected. So if we can connect with one little piece of land, we're actually expanding and getting the whole earth there.
Yeah. You know what? And now that you say that, would you mind if I guide a process?
I would love it.
Okay. So for those who are listening, if you are not driving, I invite you to close your eyes for a moment and focus on your breathing. So breathe mindfully in and out, becoming more and more aware of the space where you are in, the space and also your environment. And take a moment to honor the spirits of the land where you are in, showing appreciation and gratitude for that land that is sustaining you, that is giving you a space to live. So send some love from your heart to the land and feel how that love is being shared with the land. At the same time, you receive love from the land, creating a connection, a conscious connection, so that in the days to come, you can feel more that awareness of the space where you live in. Once again, breathe into your heart and send some love to the land, feeling that connection becoming stronger, creating ripples that expand throughout your neighborhood, your city, your country, your world, expanding this light so that all of us are connected in this web of light, expanding also beyond, reaching the universe, so that thanks to this awareness, we honor our interconnectedness, the consciousness, and the spirit that connects us all. And take another deep cleansing breath. And now you can open your eyes.
I love that. And what you just did was to show in a matter of like 5 minutes how powerfully we can make this connection, even if maybe we don't have that opportunity to run out and play in nature physically.
Yeah.
We can still make this connection. We can still make this planetary or universal connection. And I was getting some beautiful visions and vortex energy opening, that were opening around me, and just it was just beautiful to experience.
I'm so glad. It came, and I try to always honor what comes through. Sorry, I just jumped to it.
Well, and it's interesting. You're telling me to connect with this space that I'm in, the earth and everything it's giving me, and it was a strange little thing that I went through there for a moment, because I'm leaving my space that I'm in. In a week and a half, I will no longer be in this space.
Wow.
So I was refocusing to what is going to be transporting me around, and I was also expressing a lot of gratitude for what I did have here.
How beautiful.
So...
yeah.
It was interesting for you to listening to you say make connection when I'm doing everything to separate.
Right. Oh my goodness. You know, in case it helps, there is one of my friends and one of the people that is really teaching me a lot about connecting with the earth and like the plants and learning more about primitive skills. He always says, every place is home. And everybody's family. So, you know, I feel very much that way. Like, wherever we go, we bring home with us if we choose to. So, you know, just I feel that wherever we are, whether it is in our home or traveling around nonstop, I feel that taking a moment to honor the space or the land or the environment or the trees that are our home, are what surround us, I feel it is so important, and it creates that relationship so that we are never strangers. Instead, we are always at home. Earth is our home, so it doesn't matter where we are. And I feel that taking that time, you know, to just 1 minute, 5 minutes, to tune into that energy and that connection can really bring greater happiness, greater awareness, and making us feel that we are never alone as well.
Beautifully said, Victoria. That aspect of reminding people when they are traveling around to simply take a moment to connect and to harmonize can make a huge difference that journey goes for you, how those travels go for you. It's definitely something I'm thinking about a lot as I'm getting ready to take this journey, and I will be doing a lot of things in nature and traveling the country, and I do that. I was doing that recently as I was preparing some things to make this shift, and it's extremely powerful to just breathe in, breathe out a couple of times, even wherever you are, for that. So I thank you for that. I thank you for bringing forth that awareness and that insight and that concept of doing that, because I think it's easy when we're on the road and traveling.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to jump in.
So, you know, share with us a little bit here, Victoria, because I want people to know everything that you're offering. I mean, we've been talking tonight a little bit about sacred frequencies, connecting with the earth, and we know that this can easily, because of the vibration, like anything, vibration can loosen things up, that can release our blocks that are inside of us. You've talked about Lyra and the 11th dimension and the interdimensional, which many of us have a connection to other dimensions out there. If somebody's going to come to you, what all are they going to come to you for?
While you were talking to me, my crystals were talking to me too. Because when we open to listen around, it's like everything can speak to us. And one of the things that they were telling me is, tell them about us. So one of the things that I love to offer is crystal healer courses. And I have in-person courses here in Los Angeles, and I have online crystal healer courses as well. And this is one of the things that I feel also can help very much connecting with the earth and with the elements in the earth as well. Of course, the stone people, because they are not just inanimate, non-living beings. They have consciousness, and we can tap into that. So connecting with those crystals, those stone people, is so beautiful. So that's one of the things that they were telling me now. Okay, talk about that. But other things, I just love anything about creating community. So we are starting that intentional community in Los Angeles. I also teach classes for Reiki, all levels, Karuna Reiki, Reiki Ryoho, Holy Fire Reiki, EFT, I'm teaching this weekend, sound healing, anything related to healing. I really love everything about spirituality and healing. And also some shamanic classes as well, which create a sense of community that you really feel that support that sometimes we don't experience in our daily lives. So those are some of the things that I enjoy the most. I love teaching. I give some sessions, but I feel that if I can help somebody connecting with their own empowerment by becoming their own healers, I really enjoy that, because then they become powerful forces for others as well. So in general, I encourage every client to become a student instead to stay, because otherwise they have to come maybe every month, and why don't come once for a class and then you don't need me for that? So those are some of the things that I really, really enjoy. And then, of course, I have the radio show on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. PST, or PDT, and that is Earth Sky People Radio. And in this show, I'm bridging, once again, Earth and Sky. So Earth representing nature and everything related to the Earth. And Sky being more about spirituality and our connection with extraterrestrial life, extra-dimensional life. So just creating that perfect combination. So I have some of the guests in that show that are going to be more talking about, our connection with nature, wild foods and primitive skills and things like that. People that sometimes have lived off the grid for years. And then on the other hand, I have some channelers and I have spiritual teachers. So it's a lot of fun. It's something that I'm enjoying a lot too. And it's awesome to be in your show today, because, it's like, and also you will be in my show very soon. So that is totally fun to do those connections and see what comes up, when we connect. I really, really enjoy it very much.
And again, I do also encourage people to go to your website, victoriavives.com, and set out, because you do have some really great videos. You're regularly putting together some videos things or meditation things. And, you are what I refer to as a true teacher, and that is, for me, one of the big qualities of a true teacher is that you teach people to be self-supported. You teach people to be on their own instead of being dependent on you.
Right.
And I work that same way. And to me, that's important, because there's no way you or I or even you and I together can handle supporting everybody. We need...
Right.
Standing on their own two feet to do it, and the more people that are in that position, the more we can do on this planet. I am so grateful that you came on and shared
this time.
And I do encourage people to go and listen to your show. I know I have caught it a couple of times. And very interesting people, different than what I see on other radio shows or talk shows. And it's very, very enlightening in what you're
putting. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for your time. And you know, whether you're in the LA area or not, maybe you're passing through, people can connect with you. Again, they can connect with you on your website, victoriavives.com. Check out her work. It's awesome. Amazing thing. She's got groups and all kinds of dynamics going on for you to participate on or in, even if you're not in the Los Angeles area. But I hope that on one of my trips through Los Angeles, I can connect with you.
Oh, yes. That'd be awesome. Yeah. You know, right now I'm going to Spain. I'm so excited. So I'm just closing up everything that I have to do here, and I'm going to be teaching in Spain, which is my country, you know. I mean, I love Los Angeles and the U.S., and I'm staying here for sure. But from time to time, I feel, oh, I need to go home, the other home. So I will be going for a few days and teaching as well, and then I will be back. So, yeah, if you are around here, let me know.
Wonderful, wonderful. Victoria, thank you so much for your time tonight and sharing your beautiful energy, your thoughts, your concepts, and yourself with us.
Oh, it was such a pleasure and such an honor, and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We've been talking tonight with Victoria Vives, and if you missed any part of this show, go back and catch it in the archives. She did a beautiful little meditation there to help connect us with the earth and with the universe out there, and encourage it, and you know, definitely take the time to let other people know, because she's shared a huge amount of information for people on all different levels of their path and their journey, and those, whether they're starting out or have been on their path for quite a while, and it's very important. Next week on the show, I'm going to have Jeremiah Shattuck, who is going to be talking about his work in Transition the Warrior. And this is really interesting, because Jeremiah has come out of some kind of war situations. He's been, you know, worked out in war zones and things like that, and he's doing a lot of natural rehabilitation and work with organic foods and a whole variety of different things, helping people. And his work certainly not only applies to those who are dealing with PTSD and things like that, but all of us out there. We all have had traumas along the way, I would say, or at least most of us have. And you can certainly find out, again, more about the work that I'm doing, what I have going on my website, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge, the1.com. That link is at the bottom of our show description. And you can, I've got on there on my website, you know, my blog posts. I've got videos on there with all kinds of tips. There's archived shows. You can see the upcoming shows that are coming on. You can see courses I have available, of course, all the amazing events that are going on. The next 4 months, I will be traveling around the U.S. on the Compassion Tour. I'm sure I'm going to be in an area near you. I'm going to be taking live appointments. I have some satsang events going on, some healing events going on. I have full single day and weekend events going on out in nature where we do integrated development work in nature. And it's all around the U.S. Again, Central Coast of California, Solvang, Cambria, San Francisco, Seattle, Pennsylvania area, going to be in Massachusetts, Connecticut, Washington, D.C. area, So events are being added daily, by the way, because I'm just waiting for confirmation on a couple of the venues. I will be in the Atlanta, Georgia area, San Antonio, Texas. I'll be headed into the Arizona area. So you can follow all of those things through my website. And also you can follow all of the shows for Main Street Universe Network there. You can learn a little more about our host and our the other people that have shows here on the network. And also, I have some specials running through the next couple of days. You can still get 25% off of the newest service that I have made available to the public, which is Dreams and Symbol Interpretations. You can check that out right on the homepage of my website. And also coming up, starting in a couple of days, on the 1st, my September special is if you register for any of the full 1 or 2 day weekend events that I have going on over the next 4 months, if you register for them during the month of September, I'm going to give you all 4 of my ebooks absolutely free. That's how much I want to give you the chance to get in there. It is an amazing journey. I'm seeing amazing transformations for people who are choosing to partake in this. And don't forget, we do have several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights, we have Darren Bouquet, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Randy Goldberg doing Vedic astrology, as well as he takes on various other topics, occasionally a guest. Susan Weed is up on Tuesday night sharing her works in herbs and natural plants. I'll tell you, I don't know that I've seen hardly anybody pack as much information in a half-hour show as she does. And Wednesday nights, we have our flagship show, Daniel Janice, running that, sometimes guests, sometimes doing readings, sometimes topics. Thursdays, often, we have Queen Mother Amaku, who works with Egyptian culture, Wise Woman Renegade. Fridays in the daytime, earlier in the day, usually we have Kevin Baird on. He does Walking on the Sidewalk, where he works with his Horizon Oracle's Journeys deck, which is a deck he created. And you can learn more about that deck at templeofgaia.com. And then, of course, Friday nights, late night, we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Hey, this is Jessie Ann Nichols, George, and I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. Again, thank you to all of our listeners, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but those streaming live through PEN, known as Pair Encounters Network, who, by the way, has a wonderful lineup of shows every night of the week, every day of the week. StreamFinder, TalkStream Live, as well as those catching our podcast at iTunes and TuneIn.com, and also those catching the YouTube version of our show, which, again, will be up within the next 24 hours. And I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into Activating Compassion. Hey, don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at the same link in our archives. And I am going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shemshai. Again, you can check out their work on their website, and I greatly appreciate them allowing me to use their music on my show. And their website is www.shemshai.com, S-H-I-M-S-H-A-I.com. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have a truly amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. Eye to eye, one within love to be for the day. sharper, learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we'll reveal it. Once you are another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. Life is your lover, learning to walk just a little.